Good morning, almost good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. My name is Brett Benson. I'm the Group Program Manager on the Windows IoT products.
And I'm James Osborne, and I'm a Program Manager for Azure IoT.
So we're going to talk to you this afternoon, as it turns to afternoon here in 5 minutes. We're going to do a quick overview of the IoT market. We'll talk about our Windows offerings in IoT. Then I'll turn it over, and we'll talk about the Azure offerings in IoT, and then we'll wrap up at the end. So let's dive right into it. IoT market. We're using consumer devices here just because those are the things we touch and see a lot in our everyday lives. The commercial side is doing the same sorts of things, but we'll just use this as an example. If you go back 5-6 years ago, you had a spattering of these devices starting to come online and be involved in our lives as we travel from home to work and back home. Things like VoIP phones and starting to get smart scales and those sorts of things. What you've seen in the past 6 years is just an explosion in the types of devices on the consumer side. Ranging from bands and health monitors, beacons, sensors of all kinds, home automation, light bulbs, so on and so forth. But it just gives you a visual representation of how fast this space is growing just on the consumer side. And as we said, the commercial side is exploding just as quickly.
So this chart here is just showing the things that we know about. And it's not just about fitness trackers and light bulbs. IoT is really about a lot of things that are a little more prosaic, so they're more in the industrial space. They're things that are sending data out to the cloud in order to be analyzed, in order to derive new business results. A huge portion of that growth is in things that we just are seeing the beginnings of today. And so we are like when we started the internet phase. We're at the very beginning. There are a lot of things that we're doing now that 5 or 10 years now, we're going to kind of look back and go, wow, we were really quite ignorant back then. One of the things about IoT that that I sometimes hear is people look at it and they go, well, IoT is just M2M, and we've been doing that for a long time, machine-to-machine communication. But IoT really is more than that. IoT is a disruption. And it's like the internet was a disruption. It's going to change the game for many different types of businesses, many different types of endeavors. And the reason for that is that we now have the capability with our devices to have very powerful devices in remote locations because of the ability to build devices that you can basically put a battery in, stick it out in some sort of well or a tanker or some sort of monitor somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, and A, be able to get data from that device, so sensor data that's informing the cloud of what's going on, but also B, be able to speak back to that device in order to effect changes. So for example, if there's something about the data that is coming in that the cloud says, well, hey, wait a minute, this isn't right, you can actually try to reprogram that device or reconfigure the device for the new parameters. We on the IoT team are kind of fortunate because we do look at IoT as the next revolution. And this is something where, again, IoT, if you've seen the Gartner hype curve, we're kind of at the top and then, kind of go down after that. There is a lot of hype around IoT, but because IoT is something where we're not going to go from like yesterday we didn't have IoT to today we do. IoT is going to be something that is going to evolve over time as people make use of sensor capabilities, cloud AI capabilities, to do more and more. And some of those improvements will be incremental, and some of them will be revolutionary. The key thing about IoT, though, is to understand that it is something that is pervasive. It's not something where people in any industry are going to be able to say, well, we're not going to get into that IoT thing. If you're not getting into the IoT thing, it's pretty likely that your competitors are. And at some point, that becomes a matter that you really need to deal with. One example is there's a company that does sheets, linens for hotels, and they started using IoT to track the number of sheets that go out versus the number that come back. Very simple problem. It's what we call a one-bit problem on my team. And yet, they're able to get operational efficiency that makes them much more competitive than other companies doing the same business.
So I have to go back to the Marriott and return those towels I had in my bag?
I think you do.
Okay, that's probably a good tip for everybody. So Microsoft has offerings in the IoT space from the device all the way up through the cloud with Azure. Wanted to just give a quick summary before we dive in. So on the Windows side, we have IoT editions of Windows that can power a really broad range of devices. Microsoft's been in the embedded space for over 25 years. We have the One Windows platform that can cover this wide range of devices. We're building the product so that it's enterprise ready, it's OEM ready, and maker friendly. And you can go into more of the maker talks later this week. We're ready for the environments, and we have solutions that go from our free offering on Windows IoT Core all the way up to Windows Enterprise on PC-like devices.
And on the cloud side, I would point out, I think that if you saw Satya's keynote and you saw Scott speaking, you can see that Microsoft has definitely undergone an evolution in the way that we're interacting with the rest of the industry. We are starting to embrace open source. We are doing a lot of things that are really geared around working with other technologies, whether it's our own or whether it's other people's technologies. So on the cloud side, one of the things we focus on is that capability of working with devices no matter what they are. So that's one thing that's really important to be clear about is that this is not just as much as I like the Windows side, this is not a Windows connecting to Azure. This is any device anywhere connecting into Azure IoT services. One of the things that was mentioned earlier as well is that Microsoft very strongly values security and privacy. And so one of the things that we've put a lot of effort into on the Azure IoT team is ensuring that you have the best opportunity, the best platform for building secure solutions, no matter what it is that you're building around IoT.
Great. So we thought if you were at Build last year, you came to Steve and Sam's talk. We thought we'd give just a quick update on things that have happened since last year's build. So obviously Windows 10 was released and the various IoT editions. The Dragon board from Qualcomm was one of the IoT development boards that we support with IoT Core. Raspberry Pi 3 launched just a few weeks ago, and we were part of that, again, with the Windows 10 insider builds of the anniversary update. The Raspberry Pi 3 is supported. And then most recently, the Open Connectivity Foundation was created for building standards for connecting IoT devices.
And on the Azure side, we did launch our IoT Hub, which is the PaaS offering, is what we call it, where you can connect millions of devices to Azure Cloud, each one of those devices having its own unique security credentials to do that, again, to go back to that security theme. We also have the IoT suite, which Cameron showed a little bit of earlier. And the idea there is that even though IoT Hub is a powerful component, as you start building out more complicated IoT scenarios, what you find is there's a lot that goes into that. And so with IoT Suite, our fundamental drive there is to make it so that you can get started with an IoT solution in minutes, literally minutes, rather than months, or rather than paying an external company to go figure out the foundational elements and put them all together. You get started from that, and then you can go from there. We're getting some feedback here, which is probably not cool. So we also have our SDKs, which we've been deploying over the last several months, and we've been doing more languages, more platforms. So Python actually just came out recently. We've got C, we've got C#. We actually just announced that we now have the portable class library version of the C# libraries, and that's the one that will now work with Xamarin. So if you want to use Xamarin and you want to deploy a client that's running on, say, an Android, you can do that with the version of the SDK that we have now. And then finally, we started a program which is more about building out the ecosystem, which is the Certified for Azure IoT program. And what that basically does is that enables us to work with third-party device manufacturers who are building devices, whether they're industrial devices or if they're more maker things like Raspberry Pi or whatnot. We have a process that all of those companies can go through, and we'll work with them to ensure that their devices have capabilities that meet the needs that you have. And then Certified also is a great way for anyone who's doing a solution with IoT and Azure can really feel good that, that the board that they're selecting is one that will work well. Now, we work with lots of different boards, and we even have open source for our SDK, so you can always write code to connect some sort of new device that's never existed before. But the certified program is just one of those ways that we make sure the ecosystem is vibrant.
Great. So let's do a quick run through on the Windows IoT offerings. So Windows 10 IoT is the Windows offerings for IoT, as the name plainly states. We believe that we're building on the great universal Windows platform, so you can take a lot of the investments that you have and know from Windows into the IoT space. We're built on that Windows platform, so we have security sort of built in and connected, and we'll drill into each of these briefly. So the Universal Windows Platform. We run Universal Windows Platform apps. And it sounds kind of strange thinking about it from a device that may not have a screen, but Windows IoT Core all the way up through Windows Enterprise, you can adapt the UI based on the capabilities of the device. We'll actually show a quick example of that in a moment. Natural and rich user experience. So especially on the mobile and enterprise editions, you have the familiar and known user interfaces of Windows where people can be comfortable using those already. We're built on the Windows platform, so we have all of the management and servicing capabilities that come with that. So as you need to update the devices in the field, you can go through the same standard processes that you would have for Windows. So let's take a quick example. I'm going to switch over to number 4 here and see if we can make this work. So this is a little tiny boombox. It's actually driven by a Pi. It's upside down. But the idea is this is actually a web application in the Universal Windows platform. It's connecting to the Pandora service, so they worked with the Pandora team. And if I press the play button, we get feedback, and we get sound. I can pause, I can go to the next track. You can't really see it here, but it's actually doing a line-out display for the album and artist that it's playing.
And I can't do this no more.
This is awesome. This is a great demo. I can tell you're all loving it. You can clap, it's okay. So if I use the clicker again. So really, I just wanted to give a taste of the power of taking a web application through the Universal Windows platform and being able to target even a device like a Raspberry Pi with a two-line LCD. If you're interested in this and seeing how that scales across all the Windows editions, the web apps across Windows devices is this afternoon at 3:30. So I encourage you to go to, and check those guys out. Security. It is a core tenet of Windows. We engineer with security in mind, the ability to protect the device, protect data on that device, protect people's identities, the entire system of authentication from Windows Hello to multi-factor auth is built into the Windows offerings. And so we get all of that benefit across all the editions of Windows. If you go and take a look at the process of securing a device on the Windows platform. So from the boot up, we can do signature validation through UEFI and make sure that the device is booting the operating system that you expect. There are cases where people will take the SD card out of a device and put a different one in, and you boot off of that, and you don't know what's going on, which is bad. We'll go and do all of the device identity and health to make sure that as the boot up goes from the drivers and system drivers, third-party drivers, that we can authenticate and make sure that the system is in the state that it's supposed to be in as it's coming up. You can do access control and identity. So especially on a kiosk type device where you might have multiple people logging in and they should have different access to different applications, that's available through Windows as well. And I talked about applications already. But we can also protect the data underneath with BitLocker and enterprise data protection. So again, security built into the Windows platform. We take a pride in making sure that the system is secure and having that management capability. So if there is a vulnerability found, we can update those devices through the Windows management tools. Finally, connected. So we're building in seamless connectivity to Azure across Windows, especially on the Windows IoT Core, and looking at where we should do that going forward in the other Windows editions. Interoperability across devices. So we built in a lot of the protocols, like AllJoin, to be able to connect into the system of devices in IoT. And sensors and peripherals, so especially on IoT Core, you can get down to the metal. You can get at those buses, GPIO, SPI, et cetera, et cetera. So you can extend the device to incorporate all those different types of sensors and controls that are needed. So quickly, this end-to-end experience on IoT Core with Azure. So we're making it through our dashboard, the ability to provision the device, so you can set up the account, how you're connecting to Azure. Once it's provisioned, then we can push sample code down so you can do a quick test, sort of a hello world, hello Azure, to make sure the data is flowing. So really trying to make this as painless as possible to get your device connected up into the Azure cloud. Security, as we said, is a core tenant. And this is one of the areas where we think we're doing something really unique and interesting with Windows IoT in taking and using the Trusted Platform Module, the TPM, that's available on some of these devices, and hooking that into how you connect with Azure. So taking the Azure device key, storing that in the TPM, so now your source code doesn't need to know what that key is. It's never exposed. It stays across reboots, and it makes sure that connection from device to Azure is as secure as possible. Finally, we're making extensions in Visual Studio so that you can build out these projects really easily. We have this out there. These are coming in the waves of updates for the anniversary update. So if you go and look today, some of this isn't there, but it's all coming soon. So that's sort of Windows as a whole. Let's talk about each of the editions of Windows to give you a sense of the different offerings in the Windows family. I'll actually start from the outside and work our way in. So we have Windows 10 IoT Enterprise, which is essentially the enterprise edition of Windows used in specific cases like ATMs, vending machines, those sorts of things. You get the desktop shell, universal Windows platform, of course, also runs Win32 applications, has your standard desktop sort of memory and storage requirements, so 2 gig of RAM, 16 gig of storage, and generally runs on x86 processors. If you move down into the mobile offering, so we have Windows 10 IoT Mobile Enterprise. So this is the same as the mobile phone edition Enterprise. You have Modern Shell, so the mobile shell that you're used to seeing on Windows Phone, Windows Universal Applications, Universal Drivers, a lower requirements for memory and storage, around a gig, for RAM and 8 gigs of storage. And this runs on ARM processors. Then if you go down into Windows IoT Core, it's our smallest offering. There's no shell. You can run Universal Windows Apps, Universal Windows Drivers. The storage and memory requirements are, again, smaller, 256 megs of RAM, 2 gigs of storage. And we support both x86 and ARM. So let's briefly talk about each of these. And I have props. Gotta love props. So Windows IoT 10 Enterprise, and we'll get this device booting up, and I'll boot up the other one as we're talking. So this is, as I said, really our platform optimized for PC-like devices used in embedded spaces. You have the consistent familiar experience with Windows, as you know and love it today. It includes all those management capabilities so that these can be updated as necessary. And we have enterprise grade, maybe even defense, military grade with the Department of Defense moving on to Windows 10. So I have a device here. It's an HP tablet with a retail sleeve on the back. So I can go in and launch this sample application to do retail. Let's switch over. I'll put it on this monitor here. So you just get a sense of the ability to run that application. It has a card reader for doing credit cards and such. But this is a full Windows PC locked down into the specific applications I'd want to use for a mobile retail environment.
We totally blew the minds of the guys who helped set up here because
we got so many things going on.
And we thank them.
Yes. So then if we go into Windows 10 IoT Mobile Enterprise, again, it's the same sort of thing. This is our platform designed for mobile, optimized for mobile. Again, you get the experiences from our mobile experience from Windows 10 Mobile. We have some streamlined manageability, but still the manageability capabilities built in. And again, enterprise-grade security. So I have another prop. You guys are loving this. I can sense the excitement in the room to see what he's going to show next. So as you can see here, I can go and run the same application on this device, which is a Honeywell device. Again, it's ruggedized. It has a removable screen. It's got a barcode reader at the top, again, so I can do in this in a retail space use of the same code, the same application, except that I wanted a smaller form factor in this mobile class. And finally, so if we do we'll talk about Windows IoT Core. So this is the one Windows platform scaled down to our smallest and lowest cost devices. We have all that connectivity built in, enterprise-grade security and such. These devices are interesting because they look very different. This is my favorite right now. So this is actually a Bluetooth LE beacon running Windows IoT Core. You can put these out into a retail location. You can track and triangulate where people are. But since it's running IoT Core, it's also addressable with updates through the Windows stack. It's a great, again, for a retail location. But it just shows the power of Windows to scale down to something that has no screen, really performing a beacon capability, but also having the full connectivity into Wi-Fi for updates and such. That one back down here. Back over here. So last thing on the Windows side, we'll do a quick demo to pull together all of this to show a device connecting up to Azure, reacting to information, coming back down.
Sounds cool.
Sounds cool. Let's hope it's as cool as it sounds. Okay, so I need to switch over to this device, which we decided was 7. So what we have here is Raspberry Pi 3 hooked up to this big giant motor that spins this wheel.
And Brett asked me to stand here next to the battery
right.
while he stands over there.
I'm going to stand over here because we call this the wheel of death. No, we don't call it the wheel of death. But the battery, we weren't sure because we have it up here. We're going to have James right. hold that. My lovely assistant, Dan, is going to also help us out here. So just to show that this all works, and this is a universal Windows app. We're powering off the HDMI output on the Pi. We're going to turn this closed loop control on. So I can go and grab this. And we can start spinning the motor. It's wonderful. You can hear it spinning. We can crank it up to 75, 76%. It's awesome. Let's pretend this is something in our factory. And I should push this little button while we do this, right? Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to disable the loop. So we're going to switch over. As I walk away further, as things start flying off the device. We're going to pretend this is something on factory floor. We don't want this engine to actually run above 60% of its capacity. So what we've done is hook this up to Azure. We have, this is my advanced coding skills. I'm going to remove a comment in the code. All right. Applause? Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. So what this is doing is it's the device is sending sort of the RPM power data up to Azure. We've set in Azure an event to send back if it goes over to 60 to basically tell the device, stop going that fast. You're going to burn yourself out, and we don't want to do that. So if I go and then remote machine, we'll send that over there. I should have done that while I was talking about this because it takes just a little bit of time. Not a lot of time, but a little bit of time.
Sneaker net.
I'm coming back over this way. We'll hit this button. We'll know when it started. Mm-hmm. All right. So I think this is good. So we'll push that button.
I don't think it's redeployed.
Not redeployed yet? You're not sure?
I go back to Visual Studio.
Go back to Visual Studio. What did I do wrong?
I get my break in 5 minutes, you know, so.
What?
I get my break in 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're going to run up against the mandatory break for speakers. There we go. That looks better. Deploy started. I have a joke, but it's really bad, and I don't like telling it in big rooms like this, so we'll wait. What? No, you don't. You really don't want to. It's bad. All right. Deploy successful. Yes, down in the bottom corner?
Hold on.
Hold on? All right. A string walks into a bar. Bartender says, "We don't serve strings in here. Get out of here." The string goes outside, ties himself into a knot, phrases ends, walks back in. The bartender says, "Hey, aren't you a string?" And the string says, "Nope, I'm afraid not."
Yay!
See, it's even semi-clean.
Okay.
We're good?
We're good.
You swear? All right, so we're going to do the same thing. Close loop. We're going to start running this thing up. Now we put in that number so it shouldn't go over 60.
She's starting to
go over 60 for a second. And then as we have network connectivity, assuming everything works, live demo, nobody's getting fired yet, except maybe me. Oh, it worked so lovely earlier. Here, we'll turn it off for a second.
Oh.
Turn it back on. It's cool, though, that you got a universal Windows app controlling all this stuff. You like that part, right? It's just now we want to be cloud connected.
You can go ahead and blame the cloud now.
Yeah, we'll blame something. All right. It's lovely. Let's see if the data is actually flowing. If I go over here, we go back to 8. So the Power BI dashboard of our data in Azure, you can see that it's been collecting stuff, but for whatever reason, it just wants us to burn our motor out. I think the Azure guys want to incur more cost on us poor Windows guys on burning our motors out. Anyways, it's an awesome demo when it works. You'll just trust me that we have this all working. I'm blaming networking. But otherwise, you get the idea how easy it was to add a few lines of code, sending our data up into Azure, which we did show. I showed a Power BI with some fun graphs on it. Not as cool as the keynote ones, but they're good. And we would have gotten the call back down to basically say, stop at 60. When it works, it actually goes back down to 60, and I can drag that slider as far as I want, and it doesn't do anything. Trust me. So it's all good and dandy. And with that, we will transition over into Azure.
All right. Well, thank you, Brett.
Thank you.
Okay, so harnessing the IoT revolution. What does that mean? I think it's less about surfing Facebook on your fridge and more about getting things connected that just provide a little bit of extra data that is the raw material for what Chi Lu was talking about earlier with the intelligence in the cloud. So, lots of good ideas that you might have about what you want to do. Sometimes you might think for an IoT thing, like, oh, you know, how can I add IoT? And you think, well, that's not cool enough, that's not interesting enough. I'll tell you that of the 20 or so companies that I've talked to over the last 3 or 4 months who are using Azure IoT and we're helping them through the process, I'd say a really good number, maybe not quite 50, but close to 50, are doing problems that are quite prosaic. They're simple things about understanding more and more deeply what the status of all that machinery or all that equipment or your trucks or your containers, understanding temperatures and refrigerators, things like that. Things that, again, are just not, they're not like the super cool, hey, I've got this new thing I can wear on my arm and it'll like send out beacons when I'm feeling like I want to go on a date. It's more stuff that's just kind of practical. And the results of that are really amazing because what they do is they improve the business processes. They make it so that you can do your business better. You can be more effective at helping your customers solve problems that they care about. So there's a lot of clicks in this slide, wow. Okay, so different ideas, and the journey for IoT is gonna be different for every one of you, but it's probably gonna start with a device, either a device that you already have, maybe it's an elevator, maybe it's just a box, it's a custom box that your company makes. And then you're gonna start having data come out of that box. That's kind of the real first step in IoT. I mean, it's the Internet of Things. It's things connecting to the internet and the goodness that comes from that. Once your thing is sending data, like we mentioned earlier, security is incredibly important. I don't wanna belabor that point, but when you think about operational technology, things that often are deployed, like let's say a jet engine gets deployed to a plane, that thing gets serviced, but it doesn't get updated in any real way. And so it's really important to make sure that you have security from the very beginning. Now, my security person who I work with would say, oh, well, you know, if you can't update it, you can't secure it, and that's true. But the thing to consider here is that as you're taking your journey to IoT, as you're connecting one of the devices from Brett's team or another device, you should really think about how that device is going to be securely connected, because if you don't, if you ignore security, which is your option, although we do things with Azure IoT that prevent you from certain security patterns, anti-patterns as we call them, if you decide that you're just going to ignore security until it's important, then at some point your customers are going to be the ones who are impacted by that. Once the data's in the cloud, it's like, why am I sending all this data to the cloud? So what? So I'm going to start sending my temperature, or I'm going to start sending my humidity, or whatever it is. The real power of the cloud we've seen over the last few years is when we are able to take all of that data and start analyzing it and apply the power of machine intelligence to the data, because that gives us insights. And insights are the thing that we're really after here. We want to understand our businesses a little bit better. We want to help customers understand their processes a little bit better. Then we go to lots of devices, because once you've got one and it's like, hey, this is working, well, let's connect lots of them. Instead of just having a device that's in one location, why don't I connect lots of devices from different locations? And you start monitoring those things. So now it's like you don't have to send your service person out to go look at that device in order to understand what the status is. You can actually monitor it remotely. As you start monitoring, you evolve into looking for patterns. And this is one of those things where people start talking about like predictive maintenance. Predictive maintenance is mainly, it's the process of codifying the understanding of how things have happened in the past with how things are happening now. And if you can look at the past and say, well, gosh, machines that experienced this particular failure displayed this particular pattern prior to the failure, then you can say, aha, well, I'll look for that pattern, and then I will go and deal with that maintenance before it becomes an actual problem. So the last thing here, actually, one more, is managing the devices. So if you think about anyone who's got experience with managing users, which is a very challenging problem. Lots of great technology like Active Directory work around managing users. There are gonna be something on the order of 10 to 20 to some people even say as many as 200 times independent IoT devices as there are humans. So think about all the users that we manage today in big companies. Look at Microsoft, even in some small companies, a few hundred, even a few thousand users. And then think about, okay, I'm gonna have to manage all these devices, and there's many devices for each person. So managing those devices is important, again, because of that, especially because of the security aspect of it. And then the last part here is having that holistic picture. So as an entity, as a business, you really kind of want to have that visibility into what your whole fleet looks like, what all your deployments look like. So this is a journey that is, it starts out with a first step, and you can get a lot of value out of that first step. But it can get complicated pretty quickly. And that's one of the things that we focus on the Azure IoT team. So we're less focused on the kind of one-off solution of like, okay, how do I like start reading some sensor data from my Microsoft band or whatever, although we do support that. What we think about is the real problems that we see as being the kind of vNext or even the V2 next of what folks are going to start experiencing as they get into IoT. So we have some services now. There's Azure IoT Hub. There's Stream Analytics. Many of these you're probably already familiar with. Storage, App Services, Power BI, Logic Apps. The reason why this list is here is one of the things about Azure that we're doing with IoT is it starts with an IoT Hub, which is the way that you connect devices securely to Azure. But then we make it as easy as possible to then connect the data coming in from your devices to other services in Azure. And I listed these here because these are the common ones. There we go. But this is a snapshot of what we've got in Azure today, and I think it's probably not even a complete list. All of these things, if you look at Azure and you can think about, oh, well, my situation actually requires something a little bit different from other people's situations. The key thing here is that Azure is a platform that is continuing to innovate, continuing to grow, continuing to move up from just the infrastructure services up to platform services, and now we're looking at SaaS offerings. All of this stuff that's in Azure, once you've connected your devices to Azure, the world is your oyster. You can use these services. You can connect the data to these services. You can connect to Power BI. You can connect to even third-party things like Salesforce applications and stuff like that. Azure is very centric around enabling those types of connections. So I went through that little path a few minutes ago, and one question we asked was, okay, so you can deploy these services and you can have 7 different Stream Analytics jobs, and you can have a bunch of data lake, and you can have some databases and Power BI. Wouldn't it be nice if someone could kind of make that a bit easier for you? And so what we've done on the Azure IoT team, I'm having trouble with my clicker here, is, oh, there we go. I'm going to demo. So what we've done with Azure IoT is we've created the Azure IoT suite, and it's just the beginning. And what the suite does is it deploys for you a pre-configured solution. And what that means is you can come in, and right now we have 2 of them. We have predictive maintenance and we have remote monitoring. And you can say, okay, my problem is kind of a remote monitoring problem. And you could absolutely come to our site and deploy on IoT Hub and start, you know, you could do your own VMs. And you could build it all yourself. That's totally doable. And if that's what is important in the way that you want to do it, you can do it that way. But as an alternative for someone who'd rather get started really quickly and have something up and running within minutes, and then start modifying that for their own particular situation, that's what the IoT suite is all about. Now, the demo I have here is, it says IoT suite demo, but unfortunately, my boss Cameron, earlier this morning, did the demo that I was gonna do. So to be a little bit outside the box thinking here, I decided to throw together a different demo that shows a little bit about how we try to make it as easy as possible for developers to get connected with Azure IoT. So I'm on 6. Okay, so what I have here is I have a simple console application that I deployed. And I'm in Visual Studio. And one thing to point out here is that a lot of our customers on the Azure IoT team are actually not Visual Studio users. They're not even Windows users. They use Macs, they use Linux. And they're not interested at this point in what Visual Studio has to offer. That's fine, but I think Visual Studio is pretty cool, and I love the Visual Studio team. And so something that they did that Brett mentioned earlier is they created for us a connected service for quickly getting an application connected up to Azure. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show here, and I put this together 30 minutes ago, so hopefully this works. So in Visual Studio, I've created a console application. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down, and I'm going to say add, and I'm going to say a connected service. There are a number of connected services, but the one I want is the Azure IoT Hub. Like I said, that's the entry point for devices to connect into the Azure cloud. I'm going to go ahead and click configure. And I was not able to get on the wired network, so I'm playing with fire here. There we go. Okay, great. So that's the hub that I made for this very purpose. And now what I did was, I have the choice here. I can either create a new device in my IoT hub using this UI, or I can select an existing device. Like I mentioned earlier, the reason for that is that every device needs to have its own credentials in order to connect to IoT Hub, and that's for security. So I'll select the build one device that I put together. I'll click OK. And what it's doing now is it's getting all the dependencies for me, and it took me to a website that now is sort of what you do next, but I already know what to do next here. And what we've got is we've got this new class that got added to my project, which has the building blocks for how to connect to IoT Hub. The reason why this is important is because if you are new to Azure, or in particular if you're new to using IoT Hub or even Event Hubs, there are a couple of concepts that you have to wrap your head around connection strings, around SAS tokens, and stuff like that. So this takes care of that for you. So what I can do now is I'm going to like Brett, sure, I hope I didn't destroy it. I'm going to uncomment some code here that I wrote.
I'm really good at this.
All right. And I'm going to make sure that I have my, this is a tool that we have for IoT Hub that allows you to, on the client side, monitor messages that are coming in. So I'm monitoring the messages from device from build one device here. And what I'll do is I'm going to run this. Okay, so now my device, this is a virtual device because the device is actually my laptop, but had the Windows folks given me a device that I could have used, thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to use that one.
Uh-huh.
I could actually be running this on my IoT, my Windows IoT device. So we're sending messages, and then look over here, and you can see that in the log here, we're getting events coming in from that device. Now, that is super simple. Super simple. It's like, wow, okay, really? That's all you did? But we jumped over a whole bunch of complexity that someone who is coming to this for the first time would have had to go through. So I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. Okay, so switch back to, four?
Slides
is four. Where's that?
Five.
Here we go. Okay, great. So I mentioned earlier the IoT device SDK, and this is something that, in case anyone's not familiar with it, it's open source, it's cross-platform, so RTOSes, Linux, Windows, we are actually working on iOS right now, we have not released that, but you do have iOS through Xamarin. We have multi-language, so you know, C, Python, Java, JavaScript, all of the popular languages that lots of folks are using. This is not a Microsoft-centric SDK. It's an SDK for the people who are out there today doing IoT. We are Xamarin compatible, and it's easy to get started. So if you go onto GitHub and you download the SDK, or if you're on Windows, you can just do a NuGet. If you're on other, like if you're on Linux, you can do other package managers where you can just get the bits. You don't even have to get the source code and compile it. You can just get compiled code for the various platforms. The point here, though, is that our SDK is designed to enable you guys to use the devices and systems you already have. We're not asking you to go and throw out a bunch of old stuff in order to use our stuff. The other thing is that today we are announcing that we have some Azure IoT starter kits. And these are designed to get you started quickly. Now, I mentioned the certified program. This is building on that certified program. So we've worked with some great partners here who worked with us to say, hey, you know, we've got these kits that have been certified, or you've got these devices that have been certified. We'd love to have a way to get people started really quickly with Azure IoT. And by the way, there is a free tier for setting up an IoT hub. So these are going to be, we're going to be talking about more of these today. So if you haven't already planned to go to the talks by Olivier, who's on my team, I really recommend that you do so. The other thing is that we are announcing some new, we haven't been sitting around, we're announcing some new features with Azure IoT as well. One of them is device management. I mentioned that earlier as one of the steps that you go through. There are some really, really stunningly tricky problems when it comes to device management at scale. And so what we've been doing over the last year is we've been working on those problems in order to make it so that you have to do less work in order to be able to offer device management either for your own solution or if you're building solution for others. In addition, we are announcing the Gateway SDK today. And the reason why we're talking about that is that when you think about existing what we call brownfield deployments of devices, a lot of them don't have the ability to connect to the internet. And so they can't talk to Azure IoT. The Gateway SDK is a building block to enable any of you folks to build an application, a gateway application, that takes advantage of a lot of the kind of the groundwork that we've done for you. So framework for dynamically loading modules, framework for being able to send messages from module A to module B, being able to connect up to Azure IoT easily, being able to pool connections, stuff like that. It is an SDK though, so we're not gonna build out, for example, if you're doing like Modbus or CAN bus or some sort of RS-232 protocol that no one has heard of in the last 25 years, we're not gonna build those modules. We're looking to you folks to build those modules. And if you want to open source them, great. If you want to sell them, great. If you want to just use them for your own particular business, that's fine too. The other thing the Gateway does is that any folks who have been working with IoT for even a little while have realized that one of the things that's really important is starting to do more work at the edge. Think about a security scenario where you've got video feeds. As much as you know, it might be nice for us to have you send all those video feeds up to the cloud, you probably don't want to do that because it's going to cost you a ton of money. So in those types of situations, there are a lot of reasons why you'd want to do some of the work, some of the intelligence at the edge. And the Gateway SDK is a starting point for enabling you to do that. I mentioned the starter kits, and then the last thing is that we're moving into new regions. So you saw the list, or you might have seen the list that Cameron had earlier. They're going to talk about that more later today, about which regions in particular we're getting into. But one of the things that we're doing is we're getting into regions where there are sovereign clouds, which have more constraints around data privacy. So now is our call to action.
Excellent. You all feel actionized. So just quickly, we covered all this earlier, but just want to touch on it briefly. You know, Microsoft has solutions from device up through the cloud. On the Windows side, the additions we talked about from IoT Core up through IoT Mobile Enterprise to IoT Enterprise. And you know, we believe we have some great solutions there and building in a great connection to Azure.
Great. And one of the things I would say is just that IoT is not about just the devices. It's not about just the cloud. It really is about that magic that happens when you start connecting those devices to the cloud, and then you set them free. You don't have to have people standing there monitoring, entering in buttons on the control panel. These devices are designed to be set free. And going back to what I had the slide about Metcalfe's law and Kumi's law, the fact that we are getting to a point where we can power these devices for literally a year or even 2 years based upon new technologies that we've developed, and when I say we, I mean the industry, not Microsoft specifically, new technology enables us to have these devices go off and be embedded and be updatable even if they're buried under 4 feet of concrete. So I think that's pretty amazing.
So if you're here, so you're probably interested in IoT, other things that you can do while at Build. You can't see Jason because he did his theater talk yesterday. The cloud offerings, Azure IoT, coming up this afternoon. Developer's Guide to the Azure IoT stuff later this evening. Tomorrow, if you want to see the wheel of death actually work, I'm sure Dan will have it debugged by then, and it has worked, and it's going to be great. I only showed the first, sort of first part of the demo here. There's some more interesting things that Dan's going to show tomorrow morning. You can stop by the Code Labs and the Coding Challenge. We have one pre-recorded session on assigned access that you can access. And then there's the booths on Azure and Windows.
Right, and I mentioned there is another Azure IoT talk later today that one of the people on my team, Olivier Bloch, is doing. Olivier is a fantastic speaker. He's very dramatic and likes to throw a lot of things in it. It's a fun talk, and he's the guy who will really go into a lot of depth on some of the stuff that we've been talking about. So if you do want to get that exposure to some of the real deep technical details, I recommend that you go look into Olivier's talk.
So these links are mainly here for if you want to, after the conference, come and pull the PowerPoint down and follow the links so you don't have to try and type them all in or take a picture and then decode it. But the Windows 10 IoT sites, Microsoft.com, Windows for Business, Windows IoT, Windows on Devices, the Azure sites, Internet of Your Things, the Dev Center, the blogs, and the starter kits. Please come back to Channel 9. There's a lot of great build content there. You obviously can't get to every session, but there may be sessions you want to look at sort of on demand later in the Virtual Academy online.
Cool. And the final thing I'll say here is that IoT is something that we're doing. This is just the beginning of a new wave of technology that is going to change a lot of things about the way that the world works. We are doing everything we can to make this platform as easily usable and as effective and as powerful as we can make it. But it's really about what you guys do with it. So we're not going to be the ones who are creating the future. We're the ones who are going to be the kind of standing in the background, providing a platform to support your innovations and your ideas. To that end, if you have things where you look at what we're doing, either on the Windows side or on the Azure side with IoT, and you say, you know what, this doesn't make sense, or you're missing out on this big thing I need here, we love to have your feedback. So please come by the booth, come by one of the talks, see me after we're done here. I'd love to talk to you. We definitely want to make it so that this is your story, not our story. And with that, please, if you would, evaluate the talk. Let us know what you think.
Thank you very much.